Good evening. This is the Parshat HaShavua Shir by Chaim Brovender. We are going to study something in the Parsha of Miketz. Also, we have to kind of connect it to Hanukkah in some way. This Shir is being given in loving memory of Dr. Chuck Feldman Zal, by his family, and I will have something to say about that a little bit later on. I tried to point to the idea that in the struggle between Yehuda and Yosef about who is going to be the king of the family and ultimately the king of Israel, the changes in the names. The names are somehow indicative of what is going to happen. So we know that Yaakov, his name was changed from Yaakov to Israel. Yaakov to Israel. But that name change was not perfect. It wasn't like Avram becoming Abraham. It wasn't that way. Because when God changed Avram's name to Abraham, that change was permanent, final. It indicated who Abraham really was. This is not true when God changed Yaakov's name to Israel, because Yaakov retained his old name and also had a new name. And sometimes he was Yaakov, and sometimes he was Israel. So I tried to understand. I tried to understand that in the following way. That Rashi also points out that Yaakov, the name Yaakov, refers to a very physical act. Yaakov grabbing on to the heel of Esav at birth. Kind of physical thing. Whereas Israel is about the battle that Yaakov waged against an angel. But certainly, you don't fight angels quite in the same way as you fight with people. So that Yaakov was the person also, you know, when he left there, it's Canaan. He met up with this vision of angels going up the ladder and then down. And when he came back to Eretz Israel, something similar happened. And the angels of Chutz La'aretz, of outside, the diaspora, angels gave way to Eretz Israel angels. So Yaakov's own, and you can go through the Parshiyot and you find it again and again, that what Yaakov was doing, was something special. He achieved things that Abraham and Yitzchak did not seem to achieve. But at the other hand, Yaakov was a more complex personality. Yaakov lied. Yaakov cheated his brother. Yaakov had to run away from the brother who wanted to kill him. I mean, this is all quite remarkable. And in last week's parasha, just when Yaakov thought he had done everything that he had to do, and that his life could now take a more relaxed mode, no, Yosef started making trouble as well. So Yaakov, the name change in Yaakov represents not the change in his personality, but the fact that he was often able to excel, to be unique, to be remarkable. But that was not the fact all the time. He wasn't always exactly that way. And so in terms of the leadership of the family, the one who is closest to Yaakov was Yehuda. And we saw that in the story of Yehuda and Tamar. And Yehuda was the one who was called Yehuda by his mother, Leah, because she gave thanks. Thanks, Hodayah. She was able to give thanks for having another child. She made She made an assessment that she would rightfully only have three children, three sons, because Yaakov had four wives, and four into 12 is three. But she had four. She had four sons, so she called him Yehuda because that was something about his nature. And so Yehuda, when confronted with the fact that Tamar was probably the person he had slept with, Yaakov, Yehuda says, Tzadkami many. She's the righteous one. He gave in, he gave up, he admitted. He was the one who was Hodayah. He said, I did a bad thing, but I can do a good thing, which I thought at the time made him similar to Yaakov, a person with two names. Yehuda had only one name, but it demanded a certain kind of reaction. Finally, we get to Yosef, and Yosef also has, hard to believe, a name change. So if we look at the text, Perek Mem Aleph Pasuk Lamed Tet, Vayomer Paro, Yosef Paro said to Yosef, Achrei hodia Elokim otcha et kol zot, after God has told you the interpretation of the dreams and what I should do and how I should be, right? This is Paro talking. Ein avon v'chacham kamocha. Yosef said, you got to find somebody who fits into the category of Navon v'chacham, right? Navon v'chacham. Rashi says, Levakesh ish Navon v'chacham shamarta. You told me to look for a person who fits into that category of Navon v'chacham, really smart, wise, understanding. Lo nimtza kamocha, Rashi, he says, Paro says. Okay, Pasuk Mem Aleph, Vayomer Paro Yosef, Ve'ein natati otcha al kol eretz Mitzrayim. You're going to be responsible for all of Mitzrayim. And bet vayasa Paro et habato me'al yado. He took his signet ring off, Yosef, and he gave it to Yosef, put it on his hand. He dressed him with fine linens, clothing, and he put an amulet indicating kingship on his neck. Pasuk Mem Gimel Vayakeva Tov Merkevet HaMishnah, and he gave him, he put him into the local Mercedes. Merkevet HaMishnah, the second one, the one right under the kind of car that they used for the king. Asher lo vaykru lefadav Avreich, they called out Avreich, whatever that meant. Vinatona talk all Eretz Mitzrayim, and he was in charge. He was in charge of everything. So if you look at Avreich Rashi, see the Rashi, I'll underline it. Avreich, Kitargumo, as Unculus translated. You know that sometimes when Rashi says Kitargumo, he means, I have complete faith in Unculus. I mean, he just knew. He knew what he was talking about. He knew how to translate. Dein Abba Lemalka, a father of the king. Rach, Av. They called him Avrech. So it's like an agglutinized word. In Hebrew, they don't have words like that, right? I mean, it's like it doesn't fit in. But that's what he says, like the word telephone is agglutinative. It's made up of two pieces, each of which has a meaning, tele and phone. So that's the same thing with this word. The Hebrew doesn't work that way, but Av Reich. So Av is Abba, Reich or Rach, Bilashon Arami, Melech means a king. Rashi says, Vashutfinde quotes a Gemara, lo rika velo barika, where that's a place where the word rach means king. With divrei agada, Rashi adds, darash Rabbi Yehuda avreich ze Yosef. Avreich is Yosef, a reference to Yosef. Shehu av v'chachma v'rab. Rabbi Shani is a master of wisdom, but very young, still very young. Amalo Rabbi Yossi ben Dur Damaskit, ad matay ata me'aveit aleinu et aktuvim. How long we have to put up to this unclear interpretation? Ein avrech ele lishon birkayim. Avrech is got in it. The Hebrew word berech, a berech is a knee. Ela leshon birkayim shekol ayu nichnasim v'yotzim tachat yado. I guess it means that everybody who came in to the past castle and then went out, they all did it, you know, bowing down to him. Kinyan shenamar v'natan oto. So they called him Avreich. What I see from Rashi is, we don't know exactly what that word means. But that's not so important. What is important is, Ayome Paro, here, Vayikru lefanav Avreich, whatever it means, they recognized him. What Paro wanted was that they should see, everybody would know that Yaakov, that Yosef was in charge. And that was something that had to happen fast, for some reason, that was, we don't always know the details, but we do know that it had to happen. V'natan oto al kol Eretz Mitzrayim, and that's how he became in charge of kol Eretz Mitzrayim. Ayome parol Yosef, ani parol. Paro said, I don't want you to make a mistake and think that you're getting my position. But you are going to have the final say. Okay. Now Pasuk Mem Hei is the Pasuk that we're looking for. Pasuk Mem Hei says, by Yikra Paro Shem Yosef Sof Nat Paneach. Paro gave Yosef a name. And the name that he gave him was Tzofnat Paneach. Rashi says, you see the Rashi towards the bottom of this. Tzofnat Paneach. Mefaresh Atzmuno. He explains the things that are hidden. In other words, Tzofnat is similar to the word Safun. Remember the Pesach Seder. Hidden away. The afikoman is hidden away. And pa'aneach is a Hebrew word which means to decipher. So that was Yosef. He deciphered the things that were hidden, right? And then Rashi adds, ve'ein lefa'aneach, the word lefa'aneach, doesn't ein lefa'aneach dimayom ba'mikra. Doesn't have any other, there's no other word which is connected to that root. You know that Rashi had a dictionary, right? And the dictionary, that's what the dictionary told him. I want to get into that now. So I don't know whether we could say that we do understand or we don't understand, because there's the Ibn Ezra. You see the Ibn Ezra? Sofnat Paneach. Ibn Ezra says, like anybody ever had a tour de force against Rashi, this is it. He says, "Im zo hamila mitzrit lo yadanu perusha." Says, if Paro, who was an Egyptian, called Yosef by a name, so he would call him a name in Egyptian. And you know, you notice that people from different countries have names that are not the same as the people from other countries. So Ibn Ezra says, Im zo hamila mitzrit, if Sofnat Paneach is Egyptian, lo yadanu peusha. V'im hi mitorgemet, lo yadanu shem Yosef. If it's mitorgemet, if it's a translation of something. So if it's a translation of something, it must be, as Rashi says, okay. Rashi could be correct, that's of the Panech, but I'd like to know what his name was. What name did Paro call Yosef? If Sofnat Banech is Hebrew or something similar to Hebrew, how would Paro know any of that? And why would that be in line with what Paro seems to be interested in? If you look back in the Pasuk, it says, V'itein lo et osnat, he gave him a wife, bat potifera v'inon, le'isha. Vayitze Yosef al Eretz Mitzrayim. And Yosef took over the whole of Eretz Mitzrayim, the whole of the land of Mitzrayim. So here we come to Tzofnat Paneah. I think that the Ben Ezra is correct. If it's in Hebrew, it's a translation. And if it's an Egyptian word, then I don't know what it means. Then I don't know what it means. Okay. But what happened to Yosef? If you look at the Pasuk, I mean, obviously what happened to Yosef was that he became an Egyptian. As far as the Egyptians were concerned, he wasn't like a foreign wise person who was brought in for his wisdom. Paro turned Yosef into the leader of the country and also turned him into an Egyptian. Also turned an Egyptian. So you have this idea that even though Yosef was a tzaddik, and he was able to deal with the inclination that he had to accept the overtures of Potiphar's wife, he kept himself under control in spite of that. In spite of that, he was not worthy of the leadership demanded. He was not worthy of the leadership that was demanded because he had become an Egyptian. I mean, after all, who exactly did he speak to in Hebrew? Who did he relate to? I mean, he might have been able to maintain certain customs that he got from his father. But I guess that was acceptable within the context of being the leader of the Egyptians. But Yosef lost his identity in Mitzrayim. And whatever the words Tzofnat Paneach mean, they reflect the idea that Yosef was not at this time the son of Yaakov. He had to be uncovered. He had to be recovered. He had to go against the grain that Paro had established for him. He had to deny his purpose. He had to somehow climb back to the family that he left when he was sold into the Egyptian world. So there's a hint. I'm not saying that Yehuda didn't do anything, or that Yosef didn't do anything. I just say there's a hint in the Pasuk about a name change that Yosef underwent. But that name change that he underwent was counterindicated. It was against the kind of name change we're looking for. It's not Yaakov becoming Israel. It's rather almost like Israel becoming Yaakov. And so we have a further indication that the names are important. I don't think we could leave without saying something about the candles of Hanukkah. I told you that, I didn't tell you, but several nights ago in Teaneck, New Jersey, always amazed to hear that Teaneck is still around, but I guess it is. Teaneck, New Jersey, there was a memorial evening, mostly made up of the family of Dr. Feldman. 10 years since his untimely death. And his son, Daniel, spoke about Hanukkah. He died on the, Dr. Feldman died on the second or third night of Hanukkah, as I understood it. And Daniel said, he started out by asking the question, as he said, that everybody asks and want to know what are we celebrating on Hanukkah. So most people would answer it had something to do with the oil and the miracle, etc. But Daniel pointed out that after Yetziat Mitzrayim and the miracles that God undertook to make sure that the Jews would be able to leave Mitzrayim. It's hard to compare the miracle of a cruise of oil going on for 8 days when there was only one day of oil there. I mean, you would think that that would be an easy one. Of course, God could do that. Not really something too remarkable. Then Daniel said that in the family, I mean, in his family, there was kind of a position that was adopted that was repeated time after time about what it was that we have to be happy about, and what it is we're celebrating on the day of Hanukkah. And he said, look, the Greeks went into the Beit HaMikdash, and they were able to destroy everything. So they destroyed the oil. They knew that the Jews wanted oil and the oil was special, and they destroyed it. So there was a Kohen. We don't know who it was, but there was a Kohen who was responsible for the oil and decided to hide some of the oil from the Greeks, kind of having an optimistic position on the future. And that Kohen, we don't know his name, but he was responsible for the oil. And that Kohen was able to create like an optimistic spirit about the future, about what was going to be. So I like that. I thought that was really it was a nice idea. So, in payment for getting a nice idea, I'm going to review a nice idea. And a nice idea is at the beginning of Tetzaveh, the parasha of Tetzaveh, and it's found in the HaMek Davar, which we will try to learn, which we will try to learn together. The pasuk says, "Vata tetzaved b'nei Yisrael, go and command b'nei Yisrael." But everything is a command. Everything that Moshe Rabbeinu says, what is the special command? V'yikhu eilecha shemen zayit. Oil that comes out of olives, clean zach katit lamaor, the best of the oil, the first squeeze that you make on the olive, lahalot ner tamid, and you use that oil to make a candle. A ner tamid is to light up a candle, tamid. Tamid we know means from night to night. From night to night, lahalot ner tamid. Rashi has a different take on it. Second, Lod Ner Tamid. Rashi says, "Madlik ad sheteal shal hevet olam me'ela." You light it, but you have to wait. When you light, if you light the Chanukah menorah of oil, if you light oil, you know that this is true. You have to wait until it sort of like catches on fire till the fire, the flame, goes up on its own. And then there's the word tamid, always. What does that mean? Rashi says, "Kol laila v'laila kari tamid." Even though they didn't do it always, they did it only from night to night. So Rashi says that's called tamid. That's always. Moshe ta omer, ola tamid, eina l'miyom liyom. The ola, the sacrifice that was given every day, is called tamid, even though it was given in the morning. Tamid, and the side of meal offering sacrifice also says tamid. Some of it was sacrificed in the morning and some in the evening. Aval tamid ha'amur b'lechem ha'panim mishabbat l'shabbatu. Sometimes, so lechem ha'panim, the show bread that is put on that special table, is there from week to week. So that is a different kind of tamid. That's the kind of tamid we thought about. So Rashi explains about the oil, right? But the oil, what is it that the pasuk is talking about? But the Amek Davar, the Netziv, Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, he wrote a Perush on the Chumash. He was a Rosh Yeshiva, the Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin. He wrote a parish on the Chumash. He would give a shir every morning on the parasha, right? Learn a few more psukim. It took him years and years. And he had came up with a very interesting, and I think legitimately we can call it a kind of modern, a more modern kind of parish. So what does he say? Hainyan Mikol Zeh. He says, what is all of this? Well, he said the most of it, because I'll just read out the abbreviations, but I won't explain them. He says the point of all this, like he's talking about the oil and the light, the yesh ladat. He says everybody has to know the or haTorah, the light of the Torah, light. Torah is light. Light is Torah. It's a metaphor that everybody has heard and knows. Shehu tachlit ha-mishkan, which is the purpose of building the Mishkan. V'ikar ha-mashresh shchunam b'Yisrael. And that's what enables us to feel the presence of God in Am Yisrael. Baba Shefa, there's a tremendous amount al yedei emtzaut shnei kilei kodesh. This state of affairs, where Am Yisrael feels its connection to God, is aided and abetted by shnei kilei kodesh, two holy vessels. What are the two holy vessels? Haidu ha'aron, the things that determine our spiritual achievement, I will say it in that way, who we are spiritually, who we are related to, made to God, they are the ark and the menorah, the menorah. V'nishtanu pe'ulotehem. And these two things are not the same. They're not just, you get a little menorah and you get a little aron. No, no, they're different. They're different. Nishtanu bepulotehem. Aron ba, the ark, liyud adibrot shebichtav. They're a place where we keep the dibrot, the Ten Commandments that came down with Moshe Rabbeinu from Har Sinai, v'gam l'tzivui b'kabbalah ba'al peh, gam le tzivui bekabbalah ba'al peh, also all the things that were told to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, kimoshe katavnu le'el, as he's already explained, v'adayin ein bazeh koach ha'pilpul. So I think what he's saying is that when Moshe came down from Har Sinai, he came down with a written Torah, a little bit. And then he would write the Torah down during the 38 years of the desert. And there was this idea that the Torah is a fixed object. That's what Torah Shebichtav is. It has words and it has explanations. And those explanations are the Torah Sheba'al Peh of the Torah Shebichtav. Not what we call Torah Sheba'al Peh. Adayin Eba Zekor HaPilpul, but this does not include the power of assessment, of analysis, of development, v'hachidush, and the novel ways that we have of learning the Torah. Sheyehe adam yechol lechadesh mi'atzmo dvar halacha, that people could be able to extend the Torah. She'eino mikubal, this I remind you, this is what the Ramban says at the beginning of the Parsha Ba'alotcha about the Medrash that Rashi quotes, is that that Aaron HaKohen, when he saw that the Nisi'im, that the princes of each Shevet brought special korbanot to for Chanukah Tamizbeach, in order to show that to inaugurate the Mizbeach. So Aaron HaKohen felt faint. He said, "Look at them; they're getting to inaugurate the Mizbeach, and not me." So the Ramban says, "I don't understand. Of course they did. Of course the Kohanim were involved. The Kohanim had to actually present the Korban, had to give it, had to slaughter it, that he did all of these things. They were just as involved as in the Siyim." So the Ramban says, "Why is Aaron fainting? Why is he unhappy?" So here the Ramban says it himself, is if you look at the Psukim at the end of Naso, the Nisi'im were enjoined to bring a Korban Chatat, a sin offering. And Aaron said, "I don't understand, you're not allowed to bring a sin offering unless you've committed a sin. You can't just bring a sin offering on nothing." So Aaron HaKohen realized that they had set the standard and the style for the inaugurations. And the same thing would be done in the time of Shlomo HaMelech. And the same thing would be done in the time of Ezra HaSofer. And the same thing will be done in the time of the Mashiach. All of that Torah kind of being invented by the Nisiyim, by the princes. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Aaron HaKohen, "Don't worry. Shelcha gdola mishelahem. You're going to be much more. You're going to get much more. What are you going to get? You're going to get the Chanukah menorah. 1 week every year, all of the Jewish people are going to take the menorah, put it in their house, and light the world with the light of the Torah." Now, what is that light that they were promised, that Aaron HaKohen was promised? You look here. Shehi Adam Yichol Chadesh Me'atzmo Dvar Halacha. A person can invent a halacha she'eino mekubal. In other words, I don't mean invent like in a negative way. I mean that every person can reach understanding of the Torah that is deeper, that is newer, that is something that we didn't know before. And this wondrous power, Shedekra Talmud, it's called learning, Titan Koach HaMenorah, Asher Nechlal Bo Sheva HaChokhmot, and it includes the seven wisdoms, the seven lights, V'kol Kochot HaDidrash, the Pilpula Shel Torah. All of the energy that is necessary in order for this kind of analysis to go on. So that's the Ha'amek Davar. That's the Ha'amek Davar. So it may be that the Kohen who hit that cruise of oil was an optimist. But it may also be that the Kohen who hid that cruse of oil knew something about oil and about the light that was produced by the oil and the reason that the oil had to be of a certain type and a certain kind of purity and a certain kind of a level of light. All of that is about Hanukkah. So, thank you, Daniel, for your insight. And I hope that the Netziv, the Ha'amek Davar, finds favor in your eyes. All the best. Be well. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
Thank you very much. Have a happy Hanukkah and a Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Be well.